You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
A pressure penalty from a man who hasn't always had the cleanest record, but he converts this one with cheek, with style, with coolness. Arsenal snatch it at the death.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to a brand new podcast by the name of the same old Arsenal. The little brainchild of myself and Mems, we had a bit of a chat. And we said, yeah, let's do it. Let's do a podcast. Let's do an audio-only podcast and see where it takes us. So, Mems, we're here, mate. First podcast.
We're here. Good evening, Craig, and good evening to everyone that's watching, listening, rather. You know, it's a brand new thing we're doing. It's an audio-only podcast. Thank God that you don't have to look at my ugly mush. And we've got a couple of people on the show tonight. Two people I know very well from Twitter, and I'm sure you know them as well. We have got Bradders, a.k.a. Sean, and we've got Lee Judges, who's a regular Arsenal fan TV. Very, very honoured for both of you to be joining us tonight on this brand new podcast. Good evening, sir.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure.
Good evening.
The idea of the podcast, I mean, me and Craig, we spoke about it, Craig, you know, we spoke about something that's, obviously there's a number of YouTube channels out there, there's a number of podcasts out there. We wanted to do something which gives everybody a voice. Obviously, you know, there's a number of people with opinions on Arsenal fans, Twitter. It's just an idea to have a bit of a lighthearted look at ourselves as well as fans, because we do get a bit of abuse, and really, really looking forward to it. It's going to be a weekly show. Really looking forward to working with Craig, and please make sure you tune in weekly. It's going to be an absolute pleasure, and it's going to be a laugh as well, isn't it, Craig?
Absolutely, mate. Yeah. Just while we're here, let's talk about where you'll be able to find the podcast. You'll be able to find it on SoundCloud. It'll be uploaded to SoundCloud. Hopefully. Within an hour of us finishing every night. Then obviously once it's up on SoundCloud, I will get it up on iTunes, but for some reason it takes a while to come through on iTunes. And tonight there we've just been going through some tweets, people wanting us to upload the audio to YouTube. So I will upload the audio to YouTube. It will be just audio, which will be lovely for me, because I won't have to respond to comments about my balding hairline.
you know, Ospina!
Yeah, it took up a good lot of my time, actually, responding to those comments. Oh, you've got no hair. Oh, you've got no hair.
I'm actually glad, Craig, that people don't have to look at my mush, you know, because it was a bit of an effort getting in front of that webcam. So I quite like this audio-only, thing that we've got to do. So, you know, it's good. I like it. You know, and the good thing is that if you're at work, you're putting your headphones, or you're travelling to work, you're sitting in the car, you can just drive along and listen to us rant on for the next hour or so, however long we're going to be doing this. So it's going to be a laugh. So let's get it on the way, Craig. I mean, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, first of all, let's introduce the guest. Let's introduce Bradders, 1066. Welcome, mate. How are you?
I'm brilliant. It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Good. And next in line, a very good friend of mine. We've become friends. Twitter friends. Mr. Lee Judges. How are you, Lee?
Pleasure I'm to all be, up. Thank you very much.
Pleasure to be talking to you again. Yes, mate. Absolutely. Okay, let's rock on. Southampton in the FA Cup. Absolutely beautiful performance. Okay, we should be beating Southampton. The team that Southampton put out, we should be beating them 5-0 anyway. In my opinion.
Yeah.
Some really good individual performances that evening. Oxlade-Chamberlain, Nathan Miles, and Jeff Adelaide. I thought the two players for me, actually, that really stood out was Maitland-Niles and Jeff Adelaide. I thought they had a great game. I thought Ox was brilliant down the middle as well. Can't believe he didn't start last night, but we'll get on to that a little bit later on. Bradders, the Southampton game, quite refreshing.
It was brilliant. It was like watching old Arsenal. Great movement, pace. I'm not Welbeck's biggest fan, but he made such a difference. It was just really good to watch, and not have to watch Giroud standing still, waiting for the ball. You know, it was nice. It was really good. Let's not go overboard a little bit, because I can still remember Southampton. Did they play Liverpool 2 days before or something? So they were resting a lot of their players.
Of course,
but no, it was a great performance, and it was refreshing to see the movement. Movement.
That's the thing, Lee. I wasn't going to go too overboard with it, because the team that Southampton put out, let's be honest, wasn't the Southampton that we would all hoped to beat 5-0, was it, mate?
Oh, no, not without a doubt. But what it was a comfortable performance. It was a very, very enjoyable day. But I have to say that, the feel-good factor coming away from that game was brilliant, because what it done was, this is our second string. You know, I mean, imagine what our first team can be like on Tuesday night. And I certainly was looking forward to Tuesday, because I felt the one thing that I thought it would do was if, say, like your instance, for instance, your Monreal or your Aaron Ramsey or your Coquelin, you'd have seen those performances, though, boys, and think, well, if I don't step up on Tuesday night, I could be out by Saturday, because some of those performances were fantastic. Oxlade-Chamberlain in midfield, well, you know, was brilliant. And I thought, again, last night, he was outstanding as well when he came in there. So, you know, that's what I think it done. But it just seems to me that they just abused that situation on Tuesday and thought, well, I'm in, don't really matter. And in they come. But going on back onto Southampton, it was a pleasurable day, great atmosphere. And maybe that has something to do with it. I think someone mentioned that on Twitter today, that the atmosphere at these away games is so good that, it transforms onto the players. I don't know, you know what I mean? But it certainly was a fantastic atmosphere on Saturday, and, the players responded.
Mm. Great point you bring up about the atmosphere. Playing away from home, listening to your fans singing, singing your name or whatever, getting behind the team mems. We're not going to talk about Southampton too much because it was last week, but,
should I talk about last night? Because I was there. And it's
you were there, yeah. The atmosphere last night to me, I was sitting at home watching it on telly. Okay, I can't really obviously soak it up, but it seemed very, very poisonous to me.
I mean, it was, how can I put it? The start of the game, Lee, I know you were there, I saw you after the game, but I've never seen a more flatter start to a game at Arsenal for many years. We were that bad, we couldn't string two passes together. Gomez in goal for Watford the first half didn't have nothing to do.
Ben, don't forget, it was raining.
Yeah, I know. I've seen Ty's put that out. The rain was pretty bad, and I can understand the floodlights were particularly bright as well. So, the excuses are there. But we were that bad, Sean. Bad, Craig.
I watched it.
It was dire. And the atmosphere, Lee's mentioned about the atmosphere. The atmosphere within the stadium was shocking. And it was a midweek game. I know the weather was poor. I got in the stadium, as I always do, get there nice and early. I like to see the players warm up and things like that. People were turning up 20 minutes gone. They were 2-0 down, but people were rocking up.
Mebs, can I? What was you thinking when you saw? You say you got there early. What was you thinking when you saw the team?
When I saw the team, mate, I mean, I thought to myself, firstly, I thought, well, and I mentioned this to Lee after the game, if Hector Bellerin is fit enough to be on the bench,
yeah,
why is he not starting?
Exactly.
And I know people will say to me, Gabriel's been playing really well, etc. Hector Bellerin's the best right back in the league, in my opinion. If he's fit, he's got to play. It's the first thing I thought. And then I thought to myself, like what Lee said, like what yourself said as well, if people have played well, Theo Walcott scored a hat-trick, Danny Welbeck's played well, Where's their reward for playing well
exactly.
if they know that they're going to get dropped the following week? I mean, Aaron Ramsey started yesterday. I don't like digging out certain players, but he was shocking. I can't remember the last time Aaron Ramsey actually had a positive impact on the game. He was that bad yesterday. So I looked at the team sheet and I was thinking to myself, it's a strange one.
Well, I was gobsmacked. I mean, how many times now we don't often have a great performance. Let's face it. When was our last one? Probably against Chelsea. But a great performance against Southampton. Pace, power. And then he takes all that pace and power out and puts in the slow people. And I saw it, and it was amazing, right? Because I do that Super Six thing on Sky. Mm-hmm. And I'd already put Arsenal 4-0 to win. That's what I predicted, 4-0.
Is that before you saw the team or after?
Yeah, that was before. And my boy turned around and said to me, he said, Dad, Watford are going to win. Watford are going to beat us easily. I went, no, don't be silly. Don't be silly. And 2-0 down after 10 minutes, 15 minutes.
But, I mean, what Watford did yesterday, and Lee, you saw it as well, Watford played with four almost centre-backs at the back.
Yeah.
All their boys at the back were big lumps. And you've got Giroud up there. Yeah. Like you said, Sean, he's not the most mobile and pacey. If you've got four centre backs like Cabal, with all due respect to them, you need someone like Alexis or Theo up there. And it's so typical of Arsene Wenger where if something works for him, he'll do it the next week. He'll do it the week after, and he'll do it the week after. You've got to pick teams according to the teams that you're playing.
He's got his favourites. He's got his favourites, and no matter what, he always picks Giroud and he'll always pick Ramsey, no matter who he's playing or what. And that's what's been killing us. I know Giroud had a good little period where he scored some goals, but come on, we all know he slows the team. He's the only player I know who every time he plays, he changes the way we play. Because without him, when you sit watching, we're a different animal when we've got Alexis in the middle.
You touched on it earlier on against Southampton. One thing we had was pace. And Arsenal, when you've got pace in your side, especially away from home,
pace and power.
We're able to play that quickly. We can look up, pick out a pass. Yesterday, I mean, people turn around and say clubs come to the Emirates and they park the bus and things like that. Watford yesterday, they were attacking us left, right, and centre. We didn't know what hit us. For the first 20 minutes, we did not know what hit us.
Exactly. We came out expecting them to park the bus, and it's only a matter of time before we scored. And they obviously saw the team and thought, we can do this.
The first 20 minutes, mate, was that bad. I was sitting there and I was looking at my boy and I thought, bloody hell, this is what is going on?
Yeah. It was 2 minutes and 57 seconds bad. That was 57 seconds between the goals.
When that second one went in, I started laughing.
The first goal was obviously a deflected free kick. If you looked at Aaron Ramsey, he's turned away from the shot. You know, I mean, I know it's a deflection, but there's some players that put their body on the line to block it. You know, he sort of turned away, sort of half-hearted, didn't he? And the second goal, there was a throw-in from Gabriel. Ramsey put in a little 50-50 sort of tackle. He sort of bowled out of it. And then the lad that was running that Mustafi, you're thinking Mustafi, just take him out. He went past him at Kapu. You know, Chet made a save and it was a little tap in there for Troy Deeney. You know, it was. I mean, to be honest with you, Cech made a decent save after that as well. It could have been a lot worse.
Well, yeah, we could have been three or four down, couldn't we? Absolutely.
Yeah. Let's go back to Lee and talk about the team selection again. Lee, Oxlade-Chamberlain found himself on the bench yesterday. After he kind of ran the show really at Southampton, if you ask me. What must be going through, you know, Chamberlain's head yesterday when he sees that he's on the sub bench after a performance such as the one at Southampton?
He's used to it. It happens every time.
Yeah, I think what you have to understand is that at the professional game, it happens not so much at semi-professional, but definitely at professional level, is that they knew that with the Southampton game that the guys were going to be rested and they was always going to come back into the team. Don't matter if we won 15-0. It was always going to happen that they were all going to come back in, which is fair enough. He's turned around and said, I'm resting you, giving you a game. And I think that those players probably accepted that. But what they won't accept, you know, is when they put in a performance like that, that they're, if they're all still playing. And going back to team selection, there's a couple of things that have miffed me. And I've spoken, like, funny, my dad, I was talking to my dad earlier on today, and he turned around and he asked me a question, and I can't answer it. So I'll throw it out to you guys. When Mesut Ozil and Alexis Sanchez are either injured or ill or left out of the side, for whatever reason they're left out of the side, don't matter how well the player that's playing in their position is, they come straight back in the team. Mm. Straight back in the team. No arguments. Yeah. Why didn't that happen with Bellerin?
Exactly.
Why didn't that happen with Bellerin? He's probably the best, if not the second best, right back in the country. Regardless, exactly. Say if say for instance Walcott. All right, so let's say Giroud scores goal after goal after goal. Sanchez is going to come back. Well, we stick Sanchez on the wing, but he'll make sure that he gets him in the team.
Yeah, exactly.
And here we have Bellerin on the bench. I can't understand that. You know, as well as Gabriel's done. Gabriel, this is a game where you look at it. That you're going to have 90% of the play. Do you need a centre-half that's not going to create anything,
absolutely,
not going to score any goals, playing at right-back? And not only did he play at right-back, he played for the whole 90 minutes.
Yeah, Lee, Lee, I was sitting watching that, right? I'm sitting watching that, and I was thinking, where's Debussy? Where's Jenkinson? Are they still at Arsenal? Or did they go?
No, they stayed.
So Debussy,
$80,000 a week.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking, right? There's Debussy, a French international, who Wenger picked and bought, right? Who don't play him anymore. Now, I know he got injured, but he's been fine all season. I know they've had a bit of a fallout, but Jenkinson, he's on about $50,000 a week. Are you telling me that our two second right backs can't do better than Gabriel?
This is this is the frightening thing about Arsenal, and this is why I'm now believe that Arsene Wenger is finished as the manager of Arsenal. And the reason is because we've got this massive squad, and he's still putting square pegs in round holes.
I've been saying that for ages, Lee. It's a square peg in round hole formation with Wenger, and he does exactly the same with Ramsey. The only position he ain't put Ramsey in is goalkeeper.
We go on Twitter and we say, oh, you know, why doesn't he change the formation? Why won't he change the formation? Is he so hell-bent on playing Mesut Ozil all the time that he won't change, you know, he won't change the formation to suit?
He won't. He sent him shopping in Sweden for a week after he gave him a winter's break.
Well, I mean, Mesut Ozil has had more time off than the Queen this year.
He had a winter's break, and then he went shopping in Sweden while we're thrashing Southampton. He comes back, sticks him in a team. What did he do? Absolutely nothing. Yet, Chamberlain, who this is really annoys me. I see people all the time on Twitter giving Chamberlain a hard time. Anyone tell me the last time that lad played five games on the trot?
Yes.
I don't think he ever has.
Yes.
How the hell is he supposed to impress anybody?
I absolutely agree with you. You know,
he's been our best player at times this season. I think he's a wonderful player, Chamberlain.
I'll tell you what, Chelsea is sniffing around him, but if Chelsea get hold of him, you'll see the proper Oxlade Chamberlain.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've said this for years. I spoke to Craig on numerous hangouts. I'm a big fan of Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, and I fear that if he goes to a club like Chelsea or Liverpool, he will develop into an absolute beast. And he's versatile as well. He can play. I mean, I was screaming yesterday, Lee, we spoke. When Gabriel picked up a booking, I thought to myself, you know, put Oxlade-Chamberlain on and play him on that right-hand side, because we had absolutely nothing going down. Yeah. Put the Ox on, put him on the right-hand side, take off Gabriel. You know, and then we've got pace on both outlets, and I couldn't understand it. And you're right, Sean. I mean, the Ox has never had a consistent
Never. Of games. It, you could say it's the same with Walcott as well. I mean, how much? He's on 120 grand a week. I mean, he's and Iwobi gets in now instead of him.
That's a fantastic point. Iwobi gets, I think, he's a good player. Don't get me wrong.
So do I.
But he gets more chances than Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Exactly.
You know, and I think Oxlade-Chamberlain is potentially a better player, in my opinion. I might be wrong, but that's my opinion. He's English. I think he's got absolutely wonderful talent. You know, I haven't seen a limited player. I go back a couple of years ago, AC Milan, when he played in midfield against AC Milan. He was absolutely outstanding. Now, I'm not going to criticise Wenger about his development. I think his development has been hindered by injuries at certain times. So I think that that's something that he's got to improve on. But, while we're talking about injuries, that they can continue to happen to every single player that plays under Arsene Wenger.
Lee, I blame all of Oxlade-Chamberlain's injuries and all of Walcott's injuries and pretty much all of Wilshere's injuries. It's on Wenger's rotation. Yeah. They play two games, right? Their muscles get match fit, and then they sit out for three or four games. Then he wants them to come back on, and they need to be playing all the time. He's playing.
Yeah,
I agree. When we're talking about Oxlade-Chamberlain as well, lads, I think what we've got is what members. I think he's a confidence player, and I don't think he's been filled with confidence under Arsene Wenger, because he knows that it doesn't matter how well he's going to play, he's not going to be able to sleep the following week.
Exactly.
And the thing is as well is that the crowd over at Arsenal as well, they've gotten on his back. If he makes a mistake, everyone gets on his back. They're very critical of the Ox. You know, and it seems to me that there's certain players that can get away with things, but there's certain players that it's fashionable to get on their backs, and the Ox is one of them.
I agree. I have to say this with Arsenal fans, if I'm going to have a little criticism, there is a little bit of a culture of getting on the players' backs, you know what I mean? It goes back even when, in the old days as well, certain players they used to pick on.
Yeah. Perry Groves
is one of them. Now everybody idolises him to a certain degree. You know
Jimmy Carter.
Lee Chandler, he used to get a lot of stick in the old
Chris, days. Poor old Chris Kiwamia.
Yeah. they do get picked on, you know. Gus Caesar was another one, but some of them deserved it, if I'll be honest.
To be fair, Gus Caesar was fucking shit, wasn't he?
I
remember that little Woodford Cup final against
him. Did someone swear?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Who swore? Right, that's...
Only the host.
That's a pound. That's a pound into the jar.
That's a pound to charity.
Pound in the jar.
Gus Caesar, blame it on him. Oh, there's the Littlewoods Cup final, wasn't it? When we were...
Gates Luton.
He tripped over his own toe, didn't he?
He never
played for Arsenal ever again.
I went to the 86 final, or the 87 final, and the 88 final. And you're going to ask me now, why did I go to the 86 final? Because it was Oxford QPR and my brother.
The milk cup. My brother's mates went.
And I'm standing there, and I was in the QPR end, and they got absolutely hammered by Oxford. 3-0, I think it was.
Yeah, I don't remember that show.
Yeah, it was. It was the year before we beat Liverpool. I'm in all the finals in those days.
John Aldridge, wasn't it? Listen, we're talking about the old times here. I mean, look, obviously we've got four mature members on the Tonight Show, but there's a number of Arsenal fans that only know life under Arsene Wenger, and they think that, you know, before the Wenger era, that we were a small time club and we didn't win things. That Littlewoods Cup final when we beat Liverpool,
that was amazing.
Charlie Nicholas scored two. For me, that was one of the best days of my life.
You got to remember, I was there, and Liverpool in those days, they were what, the best team in Europe. Mm-hmm. Nobody beat them. Ian Rush had this thing every time he scored, they never lost. I went. There was about 15 of us who went, and we all went there expecting to lose. We were on the march with George's army. And we got there, and Rushy scored, and we all looked at each other. We might as well go home back to the pub, lads, you know. It's absolutely shite. And Charlie Nicholas, how he managed to score the two of the luckiest goals you'll ever see.
Yeah, they were shit goals, weren't they?
But
we won.
Perry
Groves come on and set up the winner.
Yeah, he still talks about that now, does Perry? Yeah.
Do you know what the best thing for me with that day was Kenny Sansom.
Yeah.
Because he was one of my favourite players, and to see him lifting that cup, and he was very emotional that day.
Yeah.
And to see Arsenal for what, from
for me, it was one of the first times in my lifetime that,
That was my first Arsenal final, that was.
Yeah, to see us actually win something, that was so special.
Yeah.
And the Arsenal fans now, under the current regime, and they don't know our history. And then when you talk about our history, you talk about the past, and I saw the tweet from Redaction, Craig, saying about, people got to forget about the past and people got to forget about
was the biggest kick in the nuts.
I'll tell you,
Arsenal fans, that tweet.
It's not 1989 anymore. It's 2017. If you can't move on with the times, then it's time to retire.
Now, I kind of get where he's coming from. We can't dwell on the past. We can't dwell on Highbury, but Highbury has a lot of. For some people, Highbury has a lot of. Emotional memories.
I totally disagree with that. I think at the end of the day, you have to look at it and say to yourself that there's a reason why you support Arsenal.
Exactly.
There's a reason why you're going to support other teams. The reason that I support Arsenal was because in the 70s, when my dad took me over there, it was the red and white shirts, those famous red and white shirts, the proper kit as it is in those days, and something about Highbury. That's what it was.
Exactly what I mean, mate. You can't have Red Action coming along, telling us. Well, like, going back on myself now, but I kind of understand where he's coming from. But at the same time, Highbury is, it's a very spiritual place for a lot of our fans.
Of course,
a lot of people went there, and to come out and say that, we should move on and forget about it, I think it's a really, really poor tweet, considering
they're supposed to be a fans group.
Exactly.
What a ridiculous thing. Yeah.
I agree with you, Lee. I agree with what you just said. Perhaps you took me up a bit wrong there, mate. I agree with what you said. I agree with what you say. I mean, like, I can remember the first time I walked into Highbury, and it was the most amazing thing ever.
Lee, can I ask quickly? When did you become an Arsenal fan? What year was that, mate?
It was probably about 77, 76. I've got to be honest. Going back in those days, they were saying about Man United that I liked when I was a kid growing up.
Yeah, they were in the cup finals.
They lost to 76. 76
lost to Southampton. 77. They beat Man United.
And that's when he said, sod this, I'm going to support Arsenal.
I felt so sorry for Man United that day, just because that was my first cup final, and I don't know if you remember, they played in it. The red shirts, the saying about red, what's in there. And then they went and beat Liverpool in the 77th final.
Yeah.
But my dad was a massive Arsenal fan. And in 1978, my dad went to the cup final, and he left me at home.
Ipswich 1-0. Was it Geddes?
Roger Osborne.
Roger Osborne,
that was it, yeah.
So, and my dad said to me, all right, see you later, son, don't forget, watch out. And I'll never forget it, looking at telly, 100,000 people there trying to find me dead on the telly, but it's never going to happen. We lost that game 1-0, and that was probably it. I felt so sorry for Arsenal that day, and I still believe now that Arsenal should never ever change their yellow and blue kit, because about 1979 when my dad took me to my dad. I don't know if you remember him. My dad. A new David Price
played. I remember David Price.
Yeah, remember number 10. Well,
blonde hair,
unbelievable. Yeah. 1979. My dad said we've got to go up to the Arsenal hotel, meet him, and get the tickets for the cup final.
Wow.
Was that 1980? One of those times I remember it. Anyway, it could have been that one, or it could have been 1980. We drove up to the hotel. And I thought, my dad ain't going to go in there. He can't go in there. Hey, bloody well is. He's gone in there. And out come David Price. And, shook me hand, and he give us the tickets. And we went to the cup final. And, 1979 was the one.
We had three good years. I mean, I'll say three. We got the three finals and only won one, didn't we?
I was lucky that through that we managed to get tickets for that. So the 78 final my dad went to, I didn't go. 79 and 80. So like it was around about that time.
Yeah.
And then Liam Brady then become the idol for me. And unfortunately he left his
minutes. Buggered off to Juventus, didn't he?
And that's where it started with my love affair and then started following them all around the country, me and my mates when we then it was the Charlie Nicholas era.
Yeah, I was in the North Bank then.
Yeah, that
was did you have the mullet haircut then?
Oh, I did.
And there's a picture floating about of that. There's a picture floating around.
Yeah, there is.
I've got a picture of me with a mullet. I'll put it on later.
I'm just going just before
we exchange mullets.
Just before we move on, I'm just going to make Brad and Lee feel really old. 1979 was the year I was born.
Look at that.
I'll tell you what, Lee.
Yeah,
1979, mate. I was born.
Yeah, I make you feel old. I make myself look old now. I mean, when I started supporting Arsenal, I was in a masonette in London, and we had a black and white TV. I'll always remember this, and it was 1971, and I didn't even know that Arsenal just won the league title because I was only just turned 5, and my brother, Eric Brabber, was sitting watching the match, and I said to him, "What are you watching?" He said, "It's a cup final, Liverpool versus Arsenal." I'll always remember it. And I said to him, because I'm a bit of a glory hunter, I said to him, whoever watches, I'll support. So I could have been a scouser.
Whoever wins.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, I'll save myself a lot of money because, I mean, when you're 5, you don't know that Ivory is only 6 miles up the road and Liverpool's fucking 300 miles.
You pick the right team, mate. Brilliant story, mate.
The thing is, you have to say, and that's what, I I'm biased, but there's just something special about being an Arsenal fan. I don't know what it is. Arsenal, even Charlie Nicholas, I was reading him an article about him the other day, said the one thing that attracted him to the Arsenal was the Arsenal, And there is something special about it.
We were a classy club at the Ivory.
We were a very classy club.
Sadly, that is being taken away a lot with the way the board are treating everybody, but...
Yeah. I honestly feel coming back to reality now with Arsenal now, I think there's a certain arrogance about the club.
And
I think it stemmed from the manager. I see referees not giving us penalties because I think they love not to. I really do because there's an arrogance about us. I also think there's an arrogance about the fans. The one I do not sing it. I go to a lot of games, but when they sing "You've Only Come to See the Arsenal," I think that's so disrespectful.
Yes.
And it is so wrong on so many levels.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It is unbelievable.
Lee, can I ask you? You mentioned that Arsenal did things with such a class back then, and I agree with you. I mean, one thing when I was a kid, when I remember, is that the Arsenal players, when they used to travel to away games and home games, they always wore the blazers.
And the
crest on the side of the blazers and the ties. You know, up the marble halls and that cannon, that stadium. There was so much class around the club.
And pride. They were proud.
We did things the right way, and it was called the Arsenal way. We've lost that.
I have to say this. Another thing that I was growing up as a kid. Remember the band that used to come before, on the pitch? Before my time. Sorry about that. They used to have a band.
What year was that?
It was definitely in the 70s, and he used to go in front of the North Bank and he used to lead it with a pole and he threw it up in the air, and the North Bank used to cheer, and if he caught it, everybody was always hoping that he'd drop the bloody thing, but he never did.
My first game, Ivy, was 83, 84, so I can't remember.
I'm going back in the 70s. It was just something special. You used to have... I know I'm going right into the nostalgia stuff of it all, but you used to have the old peanut seller. Your peanuts, it was like, "Oh, Dad, buy us a pack of peanuts." It was an highlight, of the day. Right.
One of my greatest memories of Highbury was probably the smell of piss.
Yeah, I remember that smell. Yeah.
We don't get that anymore.
Just to bring the tone down.
Yeah.
I didn't know you was at Water Sports Craig.
Do you remember the fight when you're in the middle of the North Bank and as you say you're busting for a piss? The amount of hassle and fight you have to do to just get to that toilet. Nobody bothered. They just literally used to piss on the floor, didn't they?
I mean, Sean, I know people that used to roll up the programmes.
And
piss through the programme. You used to be watching the game, you used to feel the back of your
calf.
Yeah, I was dribbling. I remember dribbling in empty cans.
We've all done that one.
You can't beat them. And people moan about the Emirates. You don't get pissed on that. Can I just say something? Just before you come on in, he said that no swearing. I'm the only one that ain't swore, by the way. I just want to get that out there, all right?
Sorry about that.
I've not lowered the tone yet.
We'll make you swear by the end of the day. Mate.
Yeah.
Let's move on to some
tweets.
Yeah, I've had a few.
I've got a few tweets as well.
I've got Hugh
Wizzy
that's tweeted me.
Well, don't Brad. We'll make you popular, don't worry. I don't know what I'm going on about. You've got more followers than me.
I've got Arsene's son, Hugh Wizzy, the YouTuber. He's a great lad. He's tweeted the show tonight. He's tweeted me, and he was talking about last night, and he was talking about the Watford defeat. He's tweeted me. Poor team selection. Giroud shocker. Ramsey embarrassing. Gabriel not a right back. Alexis overdoing it. Walcott's misses costly, and Lucas underused Lucas unlucky.
I definitely agree with that last point. What has Lucas Perez got to do to get a start?
Can I just say something there? Right? I'll still say this. I reckon Wenger bought Lucas Perez. He knew damn well he weren't going to be starting him when he bought him. Because if you remember going back to the summer, the one thing we was all screaming for was a striker, a world-class striker, because none of us wanted to see Giroud there again. So when he bought Perez, everyone went on YouTube and said, oh, yeah, he looks brilliant, world-class, we've got a striker. And what does he do? He put him on the bench, put Sanchez in the middle for six games, and then he chucked Giroud back in there. So he's a sneaky bastard.
The thing is with me when I watch my football team is I want to see my football team give 100%. Now, if that means having players on the pitch like Perez and like Chamberlain and like Maitland Niles and these players, I would much rather watch them. Like, if last night on the pitch was Maitland Niles, Perez, Jeff, Adelaide, you know, Chamberlain, Gabriel, Whiteback, whatever. Not our households, Sanchez's, Ozil's, you know. As long as they gave 110%, I wouldn't care about the result.
Yeah.
All right? Yeah. What pisses me off the most is when we had to watch that last night, none of them players on that pitch could give a rat about being 2-0 down.
The problem is, Craig, this all stems from the top because there's too many people content with or happy with finishing in the top four. There's no desire to win.
Yeah.
Back in the day, we were talking about no manager, George Graham, no manager before Wenger was ever rewarded for finishing fourth. It didn't mean nothing if you finished fourth. Mm. Now there's this culture of seeing top four as a good achievement.
Finishing second means nothing. Exactly. Let alone fourth.
Exactly.
I agree with
you.
There's this mentality within our fan base, and we've all been brainwashed to think that finishing within the top four is a good success.
That's because the manager's done that. The manager has brainwashed it certainly hasn't brainwashed me, because I can go back to it, about the League Cup meaning nothing. He's brainwashed everybody that, so that we throw away that game. It doesn't mean... I've had great day. We just spoke about it at Wembley. One of the best days I've ever had was at White Hart Lane when we beat them in the semi-final. One of the best days.
Beautiful.
But all of a sudden, Wenger and his mentality and whatever he's done, he's brainwashed people now that, oh, well, it don't matter. We lost that game. And it's coming in the FA Cup as well. He's done that. What it does is it sends out the wrong mentality. It sends out everything wrong about Arsenal. When I watch Arsenal, you go back to what you were just saying there, Craig. When I go to watch Arsenal, what I want to watch is a team.
Exactly.
I want to watch a goalkeeper make saves. I want to see defenders defend. I want to see midfield players doing their bit and forwards doing their bit. Mm. What I'm seeing is like in Mustafi yesterday, trying to be a playmaker.
Yeah, he thought he was Bobby Moore, didn't he?
And when Troy Deeney has got the walk, the freedom of the Emirates, because no one's bothering to pick him up, I look at that and go, what's going on here?
Great point, mate. Brilliant point.
I've had another tweet, Gaz. I'm going to read this out for you as well. It's come from Ryan. Fans were awful. Players even worse. Mind-boggling team selection. Ox is better than Ramsey, and Gabriel is not a right back. I mean, we've touched on many of those what Ryan's said, but one thing that he's picked out is the fans were awful again. I mean, we spoke at the beginning of the show about the away supporters in the FA Cup. Their home supporters, I mean, I know that there's talk about safe standings, etc. like that. Is there anything that we can do as fans to improve this atmosphere?
I just need to come in there, Mims, about saying about yesterday. I know that we were saying that with 20 minutes before the game, a lot of trains, but there was a big breakdown on the Victoria line, weren't there? And a lot of fans got stuck at Seven Sisters and couldn't get to the game on time. I know that a few of my mates got caught and had to get a bus from Seven Sisters and missed the first 20-25 minutes. So that's why it was a bit empty in there and all of that. Like, yeah, they come in.
I bet they were glad.
Yeah, they sat down. They said, "Oh, we're 2-0." I said, "Oh, that's a good start." They said, "No, Watford."
Go back home.
Yeah.
Just quickly, mate. I mean, I don't want to go off track with it, but just quickly, is there anything that you think that we can do in terms of fans? I mean, to improve the atmosphere over there, because we seem to be able to do it away from home. Why can't we do it? I mean,
I think you have to look at it from away from home, Mems. You've got like a section of. Normally 2,000 fans go, 2,000, 3,000.
All squeezed together and you will make a noise. Yeah.
All sing it. Whether you're, what I love about away game is that it don't matter if you're 20, 30, 50, everybody sings. And if you don't sing, people look at you and think, what's wrong with you? Why are you with the away fans?
Yeah.
And I think there's something very, very good about that. Two things when you go to the Emirates. You know, like for me instantly, right, when I go with my mates, we're all in different parts of the ground. You know, you ask to say, right, well, can we get them together? The club are not interested. You know, so we do. Like yesterday, because there was a few empty seats, we all met and then one of my mates phoned and said, oh, there's two seats up here, there's one seat here. So we all come and all sat by me. So that don't happen all the time. There's a little bit of that. And also, I don't think there's anything... I believe it's before the game that can get you going. I go to Everton. I know, like people say about it, they put that Zedcars music on, and everybody's buzzing
to come
to that. We've got this clock that goes dong, dong, dong.
You're not suggesting that doggy banner hasn't got the fans going.
Woof woof.
We come out to the birdie song or something. It's just something not right about the whole club. The whole club, you know. And we should have been, you know. It's like, I'll be honest. I've been in Barcelona last season at home, and they do these little light shows and everything like that. They don't want to do that. They want to do that for the game against Watford. They want to do that against teams. Yeah. Where we're going to need to be buzzing and all that, like, you know, as you say,
the fans can't change it on their own. They're never going to be able to change it without a club doing something to help them.
Exactly.
As in making a singing section, behind the goals.
And when you've got Red Action tweeting out stuff that they have been tweeting out.
We want a couple thousand fans all together to make a lot of noise.
They're not interested. They're not interested. It'll never happen. I'm sorry, lads. Safe standing will never happen at the Emirates. They're not interested in safe standing. Look at the last AGM that they had. The discussion was raised about safe standing. It was pawned off within 15 minutes. And, you know, they're not interested. All they want... I've said this on many occasions on different podcasts, right? The Emirates Stadium is like going to a theatre, okay?
It is.
You go to your seat, and when the show starts, you can't say nothing.
Do you remember when they were building it, lads? Do you remember when... Because I was so excited when I were having a new stadium. Because I used to love Highbury, but it always used to piss me off a little bit, Highbury, because everyone used to laugh at our pitch because it was so small. So I was really looking forward to having a big pitch. And I was really excited about walking into the Emirates for the first time. It looked great in the pictures. I walked in and I was so disappointed. Yeah, it's all nice and new, but it ain't a football stadium. It's exactly what Craig just said.
It's an arena.
It's a corporate theatre. Yeah. That's what it is.
And the trouble is with the stadium at the minute, and this is the problem that you're going to have, is that if they said to Arsenal, give us four tickets, right? Us four went to an Arsenal game. We'd go down the pub. We'd have a few beers in the local pub. We'd go to the game. We'd maybe get a drink at half-time. And then we'd go back to the pub. And that's the great. We'd be sitting in there going, what a fantastic day. But what the club want and what goes on there is they get four tourists going there.
Yeah.
And they go in there. First stop is to the...
Museum.
Armoury. So they go in there, they buy £200 worth of stuff. They then go to the restaurant or go and buy something to eat with the Arsenal wrapper on it because it's all exciting. And then they go and have a drink. Then they go back out. They go back into the armoury or something like that, spending £300-400.
Yeah.
Off they trot. Next week, another four come in and do exactly the same. Mm. So when it comes to it, like, are they going to have four blokes that are going to be yelling and singing and just spending £4.50 on a pint of lager, or are they going to have four people spending £400-500?
They don't want the old school football fan. They don't want what you've just said. The people that are going to go there, the working class people that's going to go and spend their hard earned money on a pint, watching the games with their mates, they don't want that, mate. They exactly want what you've just said. And that's the corporate people, that's your tourists, that's the people that are going to be coming on, buying your merchandise, buying your half and half scarves, taking your selfies, and it's a day out for them. The people like yourself and people like Sean and Craig who have lived and breathed for this club for years and years and years, who went over to Highbury, who have got investment in passion, is that they don't want you there anymore because they don't need you. They can sell that ticket four times over.
That's right, and that's why I said earlier, they're in my eyes, they're no longer a classy club. I mean, they used to be a classy club, but they're not anymore, I'm afraid. They're just greedy bastards who don't give a shit.
Do you know what, Sean, what you mentioned as well is when we're building that stadium, and I think Spurs are going to learn a lot from our mistakes.
Yeah, they have. You can see already there that end of their ground is built for fans and atmosphere, isn't it?
They're going to have a cop end. They're going to have a singing section. They're going to have all the things that everything that's wrong with Arsenal. So Arsenal are the first. They're the pioneers of building your new stadium, etc. Yeah. But now other clubs have learned from this mistake.
Trouble is, Benzie, you only get one go at it every 120 years.
The thing about it is, one thing that's always puzzled me about the Emirates Stadium is why on earth are away fans right down by the pitch? I've never got that. You go to away grounds all around the country, you're put up in the corner, right out the way. Yeah, or, you know, you look at Old Trafford, Newcastle, Spurs, Anfield. Mate, you're given that little corner. Why are the away fans allowed to generate their own little bit of atmosphere in that little half circle bit where they are?
I think, Craig, it's because it's easier for them to get them in. And get them out. It's easier.
I still think it's a load of rubbish. They should be put up high, out the way, and those seats should be given to Arsenal fans, you know?
Craig, it's not what you said at the start, mate, that stadium was not designed for football fans. It's an arena, and it's no. If they had a football fans, a consultation with Arsenal fans to say, this is what we're going to do, and what do you propose? We had something special at Highbury. We had the Clock End and the North Bank. If we'd have had continue to have that sort of identity. I mean, you look at it now, it's like, it's a bowl. Mm. It's a circular bowl.
A concrete
one. There's no identity. I know what the club's trying to do now. They've brought the clock back and they're trying to bring that old feeling back, but you won't have that. I mean,
this how is many years did it take for them to put that bleating clock up, though?
Oh,
exactly.
Four or five years, wasn't it? Part of everything.
That should have been done from day one, Lee. They should have had that
stadium open, that clock should have been there.
It should have been the first thing put up there.
Yeah.
You know, but that shows you what this football club's about now.
That's right.
You know, that clock, you know, the clock end. I used to go in the North Bank, and I'll tell you why I used to go in the North Bank, because it had a roof.
Yeah, that's right.
So the clock end.
I love the clock end because I used to wind up the away fans.
Yeah, but it was great. Yeah, but it was fantastic. But that's why I used to love the North Bank, because it used to get kept dry. But
I could never get there in time to get under that roof. by, the time By the time we left the pub and legged it to the ground, we always had to squeeze. We could never quite get under that roof.
And walking past everyone, pissing through a programme.
I don't know if you guys remember. We played the Millwall in the FA Cup over at Highbury, and there was a bit of a riot. It was a bit naughty. And they actually tried to take the clock down. The Millwall fans, they tried to nick it. But
was that in the early 80s?
It was, yeah. It was in the early 80s, and I think we won 2-0. But it was fantastic.
Such a fantastic. When you think about it, it's such a fantastic thing. The clock end, don't you think? Yeah. I think it's like, you know, you think about the cop and you think about other things, but it, I always felt it was so iconic. The clock end, you know, because it had this clock. No one else had it. Only us. It takes them 9 years to put it back in. It's
lads.
I mean, it's really nice to hear your stories and you know the past. And we could sit here all day and talk about old times. And it's nice that we've experienced it. It's nice that we can cherish it and have these memories. And
I'll tell you what I will say, man. Sorry, mate, but I will say, and to Lee. I feel sorry for the younger fan generation now who have never got the memories that we've got of Highbury. Can you imagine being an Arsenal fan now and never knowing Highbury? It must be.
I was going to say that, Sean. We've got these memories that no one can ever take us away from me. Yeah. I will cherish those memories until my last breath. I really will. Yeah. I'm so grateful for, and this is why I love this club. That's why I'm so passionate about it, because we've all invested time, energy, love and passion into this club. And it's something that, like you said, the new fans, I don't think they've got that connection.
They haven't got any passion. It's not the same club as it was that we fell in love with.
But times have changed, mate. I mean, I know. I see Paul Pogba and Jesse Lingard on fucking, excuse my language again.
£2.
on the Snapchat the other day doing this ridiculous dance, you know, and see football fans now on social media and giving fat players abuse and things like that. It's totally changed.
This is what I noticed, right? And Lee's a big part of this. I watch fan TV. I enjoy watching the old school fans and their passion. The fans like Lee, you got, and you got Claude. And who are the other ones? Kenny.
Chris Hudson as well. He's on there.
You could see the anger and the love and the passion in their faces, you know, when they're coming out. Now, while they're talking, I'm looking at the wallies round them, the crowd that gather around them. We've just lost fucking 2-1 at Watford. They're all there taking selfies, laughing, doing silly faces, not a care in the world. But you look at Lee's face while he's talking. He wants to fucking tear the world up. And that's what I mean. and that's what I mean by old school passion.
Yeah.
These young fans, Dale, they ain't got a clue. They ain't got a clue.
I remember the first time I watched Lee on YouTube, I thought he was going to come through the screen and bite my nose off.
Now, I love that passion. And Claude, I mean, you can see in Claude's face how much it hurts him. He's got that little Thai bloke next to him telling him it's all right.
It's all right because it was raining. We lost because it was raining.
I do think that there are young fans that have the passion. I go away and I see them that they have got it. Yeah. And
I hope so, Lee.
They definitely have. But I would hate to think
it's going to die, you know?
I agree with you, Lee. You know, there's some young fans. I mean, there's a couple of lads that I know that go over there, and I won't mention, but they're a couple of youngsters, they're 60, 70 years old. They used to go on Arsenal Fans TV as well, and they don't go on anymore. But they really do love the club, and they're very passionate about it. Yeah. You know, and these are the fans as well that they're our future, and we can't be sort of like saying, oh, they don't understand because about Highbury and things like that. But these are the new breed. These are the ones.
Yeah. It is all about education as well, Mems. These 16, 17, 18, 19 year olds have been told by, you know, their dads, you know, this is how you behave as an Arsenal fan. You know, this is our history. Let me tell you about the time when. Let me tell you about this. You support Arsenal. We're the greatest club in the world. But then
I reckon they're told, hey, listen, you support Arsenal now, you've got to be a deluded idiot and pretend you've got to pretend everyone's world class. Yeah. And the biggest thing, you've got to pretend Ozil's world is the best number 10 in the world.
Yeah.
That's the modern Arsenal fan.
I mean, I suppose there could be an element of brainwashing as well, because I mean, I have my 1-year-old boy when we're playing, and I strap him into his seat in front of the TV. And there you go. We're watching Arsenal, whether you like it or not.
When you went to school, you had to do history at school. So I think you should be doing history of Arsenal as well. You know, I'll certainly tell them lads about those days.
That's, I mean, I agree with you, and, I agree we should never forget our history. One thing that I could never remember growing up as a kid, and one thing that we've got now, and is this divide between the fans, this hatred we've got between. I can never hate another Arsenal fan, but there's some Arsenal fans that absolutely hate other Arsenal fans, and this is all coming from social media. This is all coming from the Wenger ins and the Wenger outs, etc. You know, there's people that dislike people that go on Arsenal fans TV, for example, because they think they're attention seekers, etc. All this, I've never seen anything between our fan base like this. I mean, I can understand if you hate Spurs fans, if you hate West Ham fans, but we've got this culture at the moment of hating your own. Now, personally...
I wonder where that comes from.
Yeah, well, it comes from social media as well. It comes from Wenger as well, doesn't it?
Exactly.
It's all come from that opinion that if you speak out a turn about Wenger, then you get the abuse, don't you? You get this and that. And this is all wrong. Now, this is what I'm... Craig, if it's right with you, we can start talking about Wenger and things like that, you know, because I know it's a subject that we've all got feelings about.
Well, I mean, let's kick it off like this, Mems. Sorry to interrupt, mate. I can't begin to imagine what is going to happen at this football club if Arsene Wenger signs a 2-year contract.
Fuck me.
I cannot.
Just again, sorry.
£3 now, Mems.
Jesus. I cannot even fathom what this football club is and the fan base is going to be like if Arsene Wenger signs another 2-year contract. This.
I'll tell you this now. If he signs a new 2-year contract, I won't be going no more.
Well.
Wow, Lee. You feel
that, really?
That is a fact, because I'll tell you why. Because I'm going to go on about last night. I'm hurt about last night, and I'll tell you why I'm hurt. I'm hurt, disappointed, because I've got a lot of respect for Arsene Wenger, and I've hoped and prayed that he would win the league, and I've tried to back him as best I can. But last night, and this is why I'm still hurting today now, I realised he was finished as an Arsenal manager, as a top-class manager yesterday. And I'll tell you why. Because the decisions that he made yesterday cost us the league title. And I realised yesterday that we'll never win the league title under him again.
Lee, I'm not being funny, right? And I hear what you just said there, right? And I was like you, Lee. I used to go every week, and I stopped going. This is 6 seasons now where I haven't been. I've been back for the old Emirates Cup, but I haven't been back to a league game for 6 seasons. But we were making these same mistakes 6 years ago. Yeah. I say Arsene Wenger was making these same mistakes 6 years ago, mate.
Yeah,
I can remember all of them. I'm sitting there and I can remember all of them. I'm thinking, what is
it? Sean, I accept that, but I also feel, and I'm going to defend him here, that he was with one hand tied behind his back in the stadium and everything like that. And I've always felt that I should back him because of that. Oh. There are times, you know, he got us to fourth in the league, when I can tell you that now, Spurs were a far better team than us.
I accept that.
And there are times, but there comes a time when you see a man making decisions that are costing us and there's no accountability for it. Mm-hmm. And for me, that is a big thing. And I see it yesterday, that the mistakes that he continues to keep making. Defensively, we're not good enough. He never addresses it.
Lee, I'm not being funny. Ever since the man turned up and took over that fantastic back four, he has never, ever replaced that back four. And he hasn't got the ability to replace that back four.
No, he's changed the style of... I will say this, he's changed the style of the team to... We do play some wonderful football.
Yes, but centre-backs? How many centre-backs, apart from Sol Campbell, who basically came to him, but how many centre-backs has he ever bought?
It's the old cliche that I've used many a times. When Arsene Wenger first turned up to Arsenal Football Club, He revolutionised everything.
I'll tell you what, without those early foundations that George Graham put there.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with you, mate. But what I'm just about that, to say is, he was 10 years.
He wouldn't have had that early success if he had walked into this club. So let's say he walked in now, and we had this back four now, he wouldn't have had that early success.
Well, what I was going to say is, when he first came to this club, he He was 10 years in front of any football manager in the division.
Yeah.
So, hands down. But now he's 20 he's years behind everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, and I will say this, I'm not proud of the fact. I'm not proud of the fact that I go to these. I went on, and they start singing Wenger out, you know. And I sung it yesterday, like we want Wenger out. I sung it at Leicester at the beginning of the season, and I'm going to be honest, it doesn't sit right with me because of what he's done in the past and whatever. Mm. But I feel bad about it afterwards. But
You love Arsenal Football Club, and this is what annoys me.
You think that's Arsenal, what's best?
Arsenal Football Club and the badge you fell in love with, and that red and white shirt all those years ago. And you didn't fall in love with the manager. You could give two tosses about the manager.
And I look at it. No, and you're dead right, Sean, because when Jules Graham went, no one really felt sorry for him.
No, I'll tell you what. A year before Jules Graham left or got sacked, wherever you want to put it, I wanted him out.
Yeah, he was shocking.
We were stale going nowhere, and he'd lost his mojo. Mm. I'd known that.
Sean, that's a fantastic. I'll tell you what, we had some great times under George Graham, but I was at an Arsenal game around about
best Christmas, times I'd ever had.
Yeah, around about Christmas, just after Christmas time, and I've never done it before. It was a freezing cold day. It was nil-nil. I can't even remember who it was. And Martin Keown and Paul Merson were warming up on the bench.
Yeah.
And George Graham, I thought, well, he's going to put on Paul Merson. He put Martin Keogh on to play midfield. And I said to my mate, that's it, I'm going. And I walked out of the ground. It was about, I've never done it before. To this day, I've never done it. And I've never done it again. But the same thing, and I said, he's got to go. And that was it. And I am seeing the same things now in a great man like George Graham when he was coming to the end. And I see it now in Wenger as a great man.
I don't know what it is. I saw this years ago. I've saved myself so much money, so much grief. I saw this about. I'll tell you when it swung for me is when we got to that League Cup final and he played the kids. I mean,
it's Birmingham. You know? It's Birmingham.
No, that was a
Chelsea. Yeah.
Chelsea. And that's when Walcott scored his first ever goal.
That's right.
You know, we're playing Chelsea, our rivals, and he's got the fucking nerve to put kids out. Cesc Fabregas was just a youngster then, wasn't he? But yeah, and I looked and I thought, you know what, this ain't right. We're supposed to be trying to win these games.
Yeah. I'll tell you a good point that my mate turned around the other day. He's a very, very passionate Arsenal fan. He'll argue in a telephone box. But he said something the other day, which is very poignant, when he said that, do you remember when we got to the semi-final of the FA Cup against Manchester United? We was playing in the Champions League, I think, 3 or 4 days later. And we went up to
Villa Park. Yeah.
And he played a reserve side. We ended up losing 1-0. I don't remember, Paul Scholes got the goal.
Yeah. Was that two? What
no, it wasn't that. Two? Wasn't that when? I know the one you mean now. Yeah, I thought you were going on about the Ryan Giggs one.
2003, yeah. Wasn't it?
Yeah, 2004, it was. And,
yeah, I remember because I was actually living in Manchester at the time.
we went up there and we lost 1-0, and he played a reserve side. And he come out and he said, "Well, I've got the Champions League in 3 days' time at Ibrox," and we went and lost that game as well.
Yeah.
And my mate still swears by this. He said, if you look back at that invincible side, it gets all the praise for it and all that. But realistically, that team underachieved. It should have gone and won the Champions League. It should have gone on and won the FA Cup.
We should at least won a back-to-back league title, at least.
He threw away another opportunity. And, my mate's right. He's right.
Yeah, I mean, Can I come in here, lads? I mean, I'm listening to you both, and you spoke so passionately about these subjects, and I agree with you. But you've mentioned the back four. To be fair to Arsene Wenger, and everyone knows I'm not his biggest fan, he did bring in some good players. I mean, Laurent was a good rocket.
He was one of my favourites.
Yeah, you know, he's brought in Kolo Touré. He was one of my favourite centre backs as well. He developed Ashley Cole. So I think we are being a bit unfair there, where we say that he didn't really bring in some defenders. He did.
I think we say it because he's bought in out of about 30, he's bought in a couple. You know, you forget the good ones.
I agree. But I mean, with me, everyone knows I've been Wenger out for a number of years. And we were talking before the show started, Sean, that I remember back in the day, you couldn't even whisper the word Wenger out without getting jumped on. You know, there was a time where you know, you said it on the Arsenal fans forum, you'll get banned and things like that. So things have changed. I mean, I think now that there's a culture at the moment, and I've tweeted it about it today, of fans getting quite abusive towards Arsene Wenger. And Lee, you mentioned it as well. You felt uncomfortable saying Wenger out last night. Now, don't get me wrong, lads. I mean, none of us want to say it. Well, we've all got to a point now where we think that maybe he's past his sell-by date.
Sorry, can I just say, right, and this is a real fucking... Sorry, I'll just walk in. This is a real bugbear of mine, right? Now, you look at... Listen, I know I don't want to talk about other clubs, but Chelsea, United, City, Liverpool, I mean, their fans, would they put up with the 10 years of shit? You know,
no.
Us being told we can't compete. Do you think their fans would part with that? You know, no. I mean, how many times has Wenger in the transfer window said to us that I'm sorry, there's nobody available when we've got £200 million sitting in the bank? Do you think their fans would part with that? No.
There is the problem.
They would have had Wenger out years ago.
Mm-hmm. Sean, the issue we've got within our fan base, mate, is. And I agree.
Weak fan base. It's called a weak fan base.
It's not that, mate. There is some fans that they feel that they are very loyal to Arsene Wenger for what he did for give us all those.
And there lies the problem. They're supposed to be Arsenal Football Club fans. They're not there because of Arsene Wenger.
The thing is, it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? I look at it and think, like with Chelsea, they're ruthless with their managers.
Yeah.
Mourinho wins the league. 6 months later, he's sacked.
Yeah. Look at Liverpool.
Done it with their own legend in Kenny Dalglish.
But not only their manager. What about their American owners they had? And they got them to sell the club.
Lads, hear me out here for a second, please. I mean, Arsene Wenger, when he came to this club, and we talk about the George Graham days and the Mickey Thomas day at 89, you know, that was one of the best days of my life. We talk about the Littlewoods Cup final. What Arsene Wenger gave us with those Invincibles, that was the greatest Arsenal side that I've ever seen.
Exactly. You know,
he took us to so high in our life, the peak that he took us. Now, I don't know about your history. I don't know what you've done in your past and lives and things like that. If you've got drunk, if you've dabbled in a little bit of social activities, when you're up high like that and you come down, that is the worst feeling in the fucking world, excuse my language, okay? When you've experienced that glory, then you've got to come back down to reality. That is the worst. And that's what we're suffering from at the moment, Arsenal fans. We've been spoiled. We've gone to that extreme of having the undefeated extreme, having all the players, and we've come back crashing back down to reality. And that's why it hurts so much. What Arsene Wenger gave us at that early period, this is why some fans have got such loyalty to him. Because he's given us something which we will never, ever experience ever again. Yeah. But in my opinion, and this I'm saying...
Well, I mean, I experienced it with George Graham. He gave me a long time.
But I think I've said this...
But I brought him out when he'd gone stale.
I've said this before. I think the Invincibles could have been the worst thing to ever happen to Arsene Wenger.
In the long run.
Because
he'd have been here for 20 years.
You know... When you do something like that, like Mem says, when you do something like that, when you win a league without losing,
Look at Alex
Ferguson. We're going to expect it every year.
Craig, look at Alex Ferguson, right? I mean, I know he never went invincible, but how many teams did he make at Man United while he was there? Mm-hmm. He must have done three or four, you know, that made him into great teams. Wenger's done it once, maybe twice. Sort of
the problem is because what Arsene Wenger did at his early stages, this is why people are giving him this leeway.
Yes.
This is why people are giving him this. This is the problem. I mean, people should be judging him on what he's doing now.
Everyone forgets that Arsene Wenger...
I think that you can't dismiss that though, Mims. You know, Sean's just come up there with Alex Ferguson. Alex Ferguson built teams with the biggest budget in the country. He could go out and spend £30 million on Rio Ferdinand, £30 on Van Nistelrooy. £30 million,
that's cheap.
but he could go out and spend £30 million. Wenger's never been able to do that. He has that opportunity to do it now, and he still chooses not to do it.
And that's the problem.
Exactly. That is the problem. You know what I mean? Like, you're asking a fan like myself or guys that are going and whatever to go and spend the highest amount of money that a ticket can buy. And right. You've got a manager that's earning £8.5 million a year is saying, well, I'm not prepared to spend money on this. Not prepared to do that. My squad's good enough. Well, sorry, Arsene, it's not good enough. I don't give a monkey's how much you're on. Your squad is not good enough, because if it was good enough, it wouldn't be losing at home to Watford on a Tuesday night.
Last Tuesday night, right, we're playing Gabriel, right back, right? This is what I was thinking at the time. Last day of the transfer window. We've got £200 million sat in the bank. We haven't got a decent right-back, because we've already got one, but obviously he wasn't playing. Why can't we go out and buy a decent right-back? Why do we have to play Gabriel there?
The biggest thing that keeps coming down to Arsenal, and the excuse of the Arsene Wenger that he's getting, is, we've lost Cazorla for another year. If we had Cazorla in a team, we would have won this league by now, because he does this and does that, which he does. We had an opportunity in this transfer window to replace Cazorla.
Yep.
It could have been with Payet. It could have been with
Isco
or someone like that. But he chooses not to.
There is always an excuse, right? This Cazorla, I see he's going around now saying, we're not winning the league because Cazorla's been unfit. He was fit last season. He was fit the season before. We didn't win the league then. It's just there's always an easy excuse to blame, you know, and that's just one of them.
You've hit the nail on the head there, Sean. What you said there is the excuses. I mean, there's always a couple.
They will always find something to blame. And now Ty's blaming the weather.
I will say this, Mims, as much as I do believe that Arsene Wenger is finished now as a manager, as far as I'm concerned, but I will still not call him the C word. Yeah. I will still not abuse him and call him anything disrespectful. I might do it under my breath. Mm-hmm. I might, when things are not going well and whatever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But there are people now, even on our Arsenal Fans TV, that are calling him names and senile and things like that, blah, 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 which is unacceptable for a man that's done what he's done for this football club.
He's
a manager that has done his best. His best is not good enough now. That's that, and he's. You can criticise the man, and criticise him for his decision.
See, I look at it differently. I look at it a little bit different. There, you say he's done his best. Arsene Wenger climbed in bed with Stan Kroenke about 8 years ago, 10 years ago probably. When David Dean was out, he climbed in bed and signed up to this. Let's make as much money as we can for me, please, Arsene. So I don't quite see it like he's done his best, and it's not just that. He hasn't done his best. I still remember the days where we've got Almunia in goal, and we all knew he was crap. Even Wenger knew he was crap. And we could have got Mark Schwarzer. I think it's from Fulham at the time. And they only wanted £1.5 million, and he refused to pay it. But and then everyone said, well, we can't afford it. We've got no money. But he's getting £7 million a season. He was Wenger. I look at that, I don't agree with he done his best. No, I'll tell you what he did do. He signed and got in bed with Stan Kroenke, and he's still in bed with him now. And this is why he's going to get another contract.
I totally agree with you, Sean. And for me, Arsene Wenger has finished at this football club. But for me, as even though I've tried to back him this season, is when he just spent £10 million on a goalkeeper last season and left us with Flamini and Arteta in a midfield cup. Covering Coquelin.
I agree with you.
But he wouldn't have even got Cech, Lee. He wouldn't have even got Cech had Chelsea didn't want him, and Cech didn't want to leave the capital. His wife wanted to save school run, and so Wenger got him. We wouldn't have got him otherwise.
But you can say that about I honestly believe that about Mesut Ozil and Alexis Sanchez as well.
Ozil didn't want to come to us. He wanted to stay at Real Madrid. He spent 2 years sulking at Arsenal because Real Madrid didn't want him.
I mean, would we have really been able to? Let's just say Mesut Ozil was playing in a very successful. Well, he was playing in a very successful Real Madrid team. Let's just say Gareth Bale didn't go to Real Madrid. Okay, he didn't.
That's another excuse I keep hearing.
Yeah, let's just say Gareth Bale didn't go to Madrid. Do any of you here think we would have been able to prize Mesut Ozil away from Real Madrid?
No chance. But I'll tell you what.
If Luis Suarez hadn't gone to Barcelona, would we have had any chance of prizing Alexis Sanchez away from Barcelona? Not a chance. So when people say to me, oh, but he brought in Alexis Sanchez and he brought in Mesut Ozil.
We can't persuade Vardy to leave Leicester.
Absolutely. Listen, yeah,
and I'll tell you what, Lee.
Nail on the head, mate.
That, Lee, that is a fantastic point. Because just recently, I'm reading all this shit on Twitter where Wenger said that this is his best squad, best attacking squad he's ever had. He said that the other day. Right? He said that the other day. Now, if it's the best squad he's ever had, why did he offer $20 million for James Vardy in the summer?
That was before he bought Lucas Perez, wasn't it?
But if it's the best squad he's ever had, why was he trying to buy Vardy? You know what I mean?
Do you know what? This is the thing. One of the things which Arsene Wenger winds up as a fan is some of the comments that he comes out with.
Oh,
we see a classic, Craig. You tweeted it last night. Before the game, he said that the team's prepared. We're well focused on today. And then when we lose, he comes out with, we weren't prepared. It's things like this which he doesn't do himself any favours. It's not just the signings, it's not just the tactics.
I'll tell you what, the biggest thing that really, really pisses, and I'm going to swear now, pisses me off about that is all the journalists, right? When they're stood in front of him, these journalists you get, like Crossy and he says to them about the mental strength. None of them have ever got the bollocks to say, what do you mean? Whose fault is that then, Arsene? You know, none of them. They just stand there and listen to it. And it just does my head in.
I'll tell you another one that no one picks up on. I've told Shaka not to tackle.
Another one,
an impulsor.
Another one he came out with. He bought Lucas Perez. Then he said, what was it, about 2 months ago? Oh, I didn't realise he was so left-footed. I mean, you just spent £17 million on the bloke. Yeah. Didn't you know that?
It's incredible.
It's not looking good for him, is it?
it's not looking good, Craig. But I want to touch on what Lee said, because I think he made a really valid point. And I know Sean on Twitter. Anyone that follows Sean on Twitter, you know, look at some of his display pictures. They're quite anti-Arsene. Let's just say,
Can I just say in my defence, right? And you know this, Mems,
yeah, I know.
I started my Twitter account. I've never ever done social media, never done it before. And I started my Twitter account a week after my last Arsenal home league game, because I was so pissed off with Arsene and Arsene Wenger. I wanted him out. So the only way I thought, right, I'm not going to go anymore, but I'm going to keep in touch and just be a pain in the arse, you know. And that's why I do it. That's why, because I won't go back and give that man another penny until he's gone.
Just for the people that don't know Bradders and who he is, Bradders, would you be so kind to read out the tweet that you tweeted Arsenal last night? Because
no, I can't do that.
No. We won't.
No. I'm not allowed to swear.
Fair enough, but just to give you an idea.
Can I just say? Also, in my defence, I get a lot of hassle from these. I call them mongs because I didn't make up that name. It's not a very nice name, but it just sums them up. But they all come chirping at me. You don't understand football. This blah 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 blah. So I just put out these things just to piss them off.
I know you do, mate. I want to touch on this as well. I mean, Lee, you mentioned the fact that you will not call Wenger the C word.
I know it's wrong, but it is wrong.
What you've said as well, Lee, is that, you know, for what he's given us, for the 20-year service that he's given us, for the good times that he's given us.
10-year service, let's get it right.
Come on, Sean, give us a break here. He's given us 20 good years. I mean, not great, but he's given us, you know, 20 years service of his life. And he's reaching the time of his life now as well. He's in his 60s. He's served us admirably. He's seen us through the bad times. Let's not go to that level to start calling names.
Listen, he's an old man. He's an old man. He doesn't look that healthy. He's looking quite ill. He's got about £100 million in his bank account. I reckon he should retire, go sit on the beach somewhere and spend his money.
I'd agree with that. I'll tell you what I'd love,
and this is the thing that's been is bugging me, and I realised last night that it's never going to happen. I would love Arsene Wenger to have won the league and then just
go on the top.
Have a little smile at that Mourinho.
He had that opportunity, mate. Do you know when we won it?
Never going to do it.
When we won the FA Cup and Podolski was running around and pouring the champagne over him and they lifted him up. I thought, wouldn't this be a fitting time?
Yeah, was that the whole final? The whole final.
Yeah, the whole final. Yes. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I was sat and watched that, right? And I felt like a Christmas turkey that was just realised it's Christmas, you know, and I'm cheering for it, you know, because I knew once Ramsey scored that goal, I'm cheering because I'm an Arsenal fan. We've just got that trophy off our back, and I'm cheering away, really at me, jumping around, and then I suddenly realised, I thought, oh fucking hell, we got. And that's going to give Wenger another contract. You know? And I did. I felt like a Christmas turkey cheering for Christmas. You know?
I still think that, you know, this is what's hurt me. Maybe I'm a mug. I honestly thought that Arsene Wenger would win the league this season. I even felt that if I backed him 100%, I know you might think I'm silly, but I thought I'm going to back him all the way this season because...
I knew he would, yeah. Yeah.
He's going to win the league. But... I see things going on the season that I've seen going on the season before and the season before. I still see our defence still making the same mistake. Yeah.
But he did address that, Lee. He addressed the defence, and I was really pleased with that. You know, he got Mustafi, right? And Bellerin was coming through. And I thought, great, for the first time in, God, 10 years, we've got a decent back four. You know? But I said, and I put that tweet out, I can find it. I put out this tweet in September saying, the real reason we're not going to win the league is because he's still going to be playing Drew up front. He still hasn't replaced Van Persie and got us a proper striker.
I've really liked Sanchez up there, to be honest.
I loved it. I knew that when he said, oh, I'm going to play Sanchez up the middle, I thought, nice one, great stuff. And Drew was sat on the bench. I thought, you know what? We got a chance. And we were buzzing around looking really good. And then for some reason, there's a bit in the press. Drew's not happy. He might be leaving. He gave him a game. He scored a couple of goals. The next game, he sticks Sanchez out wide, and we've been stuck with Drew ever since. So
this is the problem, lads. Right? You've both commented. If you looked at France when they played in the Euros, yeah, Giroud up front with Griezmann. Okay, you see Giroud, the way he links up play. Reminds 4-4-2, reminds me of Alan Smith back in the day. You know, he's very good at linking up players. You know, Giroud and Sanchez up front in a 4-4-2, I think would work. I don't know why he's reluctant to try it. You look at when we won 49 games unbeaten, the formation that we used to play, he's changed. He's gone back to this, trying to develop Fabregas role.
Well, he's got... I know why he don't do it, because he's got all the wrong... his midfield, they're all little dwarfs, aren't they? I don't think they're not capable of playing a 4-4-2, yeah?
We've been found out at home, Mims. That's what we've been... Yeah. That's what's happened. We've been found out. We've been sussed. Teams know how to play us at home.
Exactly.
They tactically know how to play us. Like Watford yesterday, tactically... obviously someone's watched us play and said, you know what, this is their weak part. Get them, spring them, we can hit them on the break, you know, and going behind their fullbacks, they've done it exceptionally well. That's Watford.
Yeah.
But what happens with another? But this is what's happening. Our home form this season has been going from bad to worse. And what's happening is that there's been no one to address it.
Did you watch the Watford Millwall FA Cup game?
Nah.
I watched that, right, and it was the most abject shocking performance I've seen from a team. They were absolutely awful. The Watford manager was sat on the bench shaking his head. The camera kept changing, and he couldn't believe how crap they were. And yet they turned up and turned us over.
Two points, which is a thing about why Arsenal never win the league, and two points. Watford have not won in 7 games since they played us yesterday.
Yeah.
Everton have not won in 9 games since they played us. We talk about mental attitude. And coming out of the ground yesterday, just before I bumped into the lovely Mems, I was talking to Watford fans. And now, I forgot about this, but of course, Bellerin was on loan up there, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. And, he was.
They turned around and said, when we see Bellerin's not in the side, we're going, the one thing that we are vulnerable to is pace.
Pace.
He weren't playing. We couldn't believe it. So what I look at that, and I look at that, and I thought, really, is that what you're saying? So I said, yeah. So that tells me that Arsene Wenger has not had them watched or had them looked at or anything.
You're 100% right, mate.
He's just said, we're the Arsenal. This is how we're going to be. And that is why we will never win nothing major with Arsene Wenger, because you should be looking at that team and looking at their weakness, whether it's Watford, Bayern Munich or whoever.
And when he came out, Lee, when he came out and said we weren't mentally prepared, What he really meant was, I never meant he prepared them because I chose the team, and we all expected to walk over them. And I rested players because we were playing Chelsea soon.
How many times, from the top of your head, has Arsene Wenger threw a curveball in? Do you remember when we played Everton about 2 years ago and they played Lukaku on the right wing against Monreal and they roasted us? They identified there was a weak link there and they picked their team accordingly. Exactly. How many times have we gone to a team and thought, bloody hell, what's he done here? He's done something different. We don't. We play the same way if it's Birmingham at home or if it's Real Madrid away. How many times has he...
I can remember quite a few times in the Champions League, right? We're top of the group, last game, and he's rested players because we've got an important league game 3 days later, and he's got that old top four thing going. He's got to get in there. So he rests players in the Champions League game. We lose the game and don't come top of the league, of the Champions League group. And then 3 days later, the players he rested come in and we still lose the bleeding game. We've done that quite a few times. I can still remember them.
It's really frustrating. It's difficult times for us at the moment. But we've got Chelsea this weekend. I don't know if we're going to touch on that, Craig. Just yes or no. Do you think we've still got a chance of winning this title if we win against Chelsea?
No.
Absolutely no chance.
The problem we've got is that if we do beat Chelsea, do you know what we're going to be doing, don't you?
We're going to lose to Hull or something, yeah.
And that, but Lee Temple told me last night, if we beat Chelsea, we're going to be doing others a favour.
Yeah.
We're doing the mob down the road a favour. So I'm not saying that winning against Chelsea will be drastic, but I just, like you said as well, Brothers, if we do beat Chelsea, it ain't going to make much difference because we'll lose the following week.
I'm expecting, after that crap performance, I'm expecting a really good performance at Chelsea. I think Wenger's got to really kick them. I know he don't usually do that, but they know they've got to come and show a bit of oomph. And I'm expecting a really good performance and a good game. But we could beat them 5-0. We still ain't going to win the league.
I'm going to go to Chelsea game for the first time in for a long, long time. And I'm not saying that I'm bothered that we're going to win. I want us to win or lose. I certainly don't want us to lose. But I'm going to go there, not bothering about the result. I'm just going to go and enjoy the day.
Because
for one reason, if we do win it, it's helping other teams. If we draw, we're helping other teams. And that's dead right. We've got another 1, 2, maybe even 3 games like that.
Absolutely.
Unless he changes it. And he's not going to change it. So another team's going to come down there and do exactly the same what's happened against Watford.
We've got some really hard away games coming up soon.
Our away form doesn't bother. I've got a feeling we've got Liverpool in a couple of weeks. We can go up there and get something. I always feel confident that we can get a result at White Hart Lane more so than when...
I don't know. I think Tottenham are playing really well at the moment.
They are, but I think that we're vulnerable at home. There's a vulnerability at home. I don't see it as much away.
Tottenham are Tottenham. They will always let them. They will always let their fans down. Like the sun rises and the moon disappears. Tottenham Hotspur will always let down their fans. But you know what? I enjoy about it the most? They really give their fans. They really think. Like last season, they really thought they were going to win the league.
Yeah.
They really thought that they were going to finish above us. Yeah. But what did they do?
I know. I love it because a lot of my mates who I drink with, quite a few of them are Tottenham fans, and the banter's good. But I've never lost to him yet. So.
I was at work today, though. I'm at work today. And they all come up there. When Arsenal have lost, they come down. They're like vultures. Yeah. They're there. And they're giving it. So I said, how'd you get on yesterday against Sunderland?
Yeah.
Well, we're 2-0. Yeah, 0-0 with Sunderland. Ain't one I don't know how long. It's all about Arsenal losing, isn't it? And I kid yourself not. Worry about yourselves before you come worrying about us, you know what I mean?
Right, lads. We are going to have to wrap this up.
Brilliant.
We have been going for over an hour and a half.
Chat.
Yes, oh, absolutely brilliant. Really, really enjoyed it.
I'm no longer a virgin.
a podcast virgin. No, we broke you in slowly. We've plenty of
best virgin we've ever had on. I'll
yeah,
yeah.
I don't know about that. I think I could.
I'm not sure about that either. But anyway, it's a great first show.
It was a great first show. So, yeah, Brad, thanks very much for agreeing to come on, mate. It's been an absolute pleasure meeting you.
I'd love to come and do it again. Sometime.
Oh, you're absolutely, mate. Absolutely, and of course, Lee, thank you very much, mate, for coming back.
Loved it.
And, coming back and talking to us. Mems, first show down. We're done.
Mate, brilliant. We've done it. We've done the first one, mate.
We're up and running. Well. We're up and running. Thank you.
Baltimore.
Yeah. I am going to go away now and edit this up.
That's fun.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's been lovely
actually talking to you all instead of
tweeting.
Just one thing I want to say
is, obviously on behalf of Mems and myself, thank you very much for the massive support. That you've given us since we only said we were going to do it last week. I started it up last week. Here we are now at the end of our first podcast. So thank you very much. If you stick around, listen to the podcast. If you like them, get involved. If you like them, tell us. And if you don't like it, tell us. Tell us why you don't like it. And if there's anything you think that we can do better, or anything that we can add into the podcast to make it more enjoyable, please tell us. You know, we're not going to come and attack you. We want to know.
Can I just say before we go, Wenger out.
He's the new DT. He's the new DT.
I had to get it in. Cheers, guys.
So from me and Mems, thank you very much. We shall be back next week. With Lee again, actually, next Wednesday night, and we'll be talking about Chelsea.
Ooh.
So until then, from Mems,
come on the Arsenal,
and from me, come on the Arsenal, and from Sean and Bradders, thank you very much. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
See ya. Bye bye.
Same old Arsenal.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.